Good morning. It is time to get up with the 49ers on the fence. The biggest decision in the draft is going right down to the wire. We've got the latest. Plus, is Bill ready to make the biggest draft move of his career? Could it involve trading a superstar? We've got the insight. And speaking of trading superstars, wait until you hear what's happening with Julio. Oh, it's a busy day, and we're ready to get up with you starting right now on a Tuesday from New York. I am Greeny, delighted you are here. T-minus 2 days and counting to round one of the NFL draft, and we are getting you ready. We put together exactly the right people to do it. Jeff Saturday is handing out pancakes this morning. Damian Woody is gladly eating them. Kimberly Martin has the very latest, and David Pollack hasn't eaten a carb since I don't even know when. I ran out of jokes. Let's get this thing started. 2 days till the draft, and the 49ers still don't know for sure who they're taking with the third pick. That's what they're saying, and candidly, we're buying it. Head coach Kyle Shanahan talking about their decision to trade up and where the pre-draft process has led them. Listen to this.
You know, when we made this decision, we knew that there were five guys that we felt that we'd be okay with taking. You know, we knew that there was three at the time exactly. That's why we thought three was a good spot to go to. After going through this whole process, I feel good about five guys at three. And yeah, we probably started with one in mind, but that one's gotten better since. And so have all the other candidates. Do we know exactly who we want? Maybe, probably, but maybe not. I don't feel like we need to say that. And no one's really going to know whether we know or not till we pick. And that's kind of what we're comfortable keeping it at.
So what you see there is a skeptical David Pollack, and he may be speaking for a lot of people, saying, how in the world could the 49ers not know by now who they are taking? Well, I want you to listen to Adam Schefter on SportsCenter yesterday evening with the insight.
When the 49ers traded up initially weeks ago, there was one guy they had in mind, and I believe that guy was Mac Jones. Now, when they traded up to that spot, they also recognized the fact that there was going to be a month plus to do a deep dive into Trey Lance and Justin Fields, which is exactly what's happened. They've explored the other quarterbacks, and guess what? They like what they've seen, and they are very comfortable at number three, and we're going to find out who the pick is Thursday night, but I don't believe right now they have made a firm decision about which quarterback they're going to take.
Okay, so that's Adam Schefter with the latest. Here's my entire squad. David, I'll give you the first word because you gave us the good face. So why so skeptical? What is your reaction to all this?
Bro, wah. You know what this is called? This is called covering your bleep, covering your backside. Listen, they moved up. They know who they want, but what they want to make it look like, oh, crap, if Justin Fields and Trey Lance and they become superstars, we just want you to know it was really close with Mac Jones. Like, we had him neck and neck, and we studied him for weeks and weeks and weeks. They know who they want. We're pretty sure at this point it's Mac Jones, but I think it's a good way of covering your bases and saying we've been studying him, and just we want everybody to know we're doing our due diligence, and we're not just overlooking. We're not just going to throw in our card.
I like it. Damian Woody, I was looking through your notes as well, and you were suggesting they got to know who they're taking. Everyone seems to think this. D. Wood, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with my guy, D. Pollack, man. You know who the hell you're taking. You move up to number three, man. You know exactly who you are taking, okay? Believe me, Kyle Shanahan has a guy in mind that's going to run his system the way he wants it ran. Now, here's what I think is going on. Greeny, we've been on this show now for about a couple weeks, ever since this whole trade. We've been talking about Justin Fields and all the things that he brings to the table and what he will look like in a Kyle Shanahan offense. We've talked about Trey Lance and all his abilities and what the things that he could possibly do. So if you're the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan right now, you're like, maybe I need to throw out a little nugget right here to kind of get these guys off my back a little bit. But he knows exactly who he's going to pick at number three.
Jeff?
Yeah, couldn't agree more, Green. Listen, I'd be shocked. I'm shocked that they're even having this conversation because here's the truth of it all. John Lynch gave this to Kyle Shanahan. He's made it abundantly clear Shanahan's going to make the call on quarterbacks because it's like a master chef, right? You don't mess with the ingredients. When you know what that guy wants, you let him go get it. So to Pollack's point, Wood's point, like he's put a little smokescreen out there just in case. He wants to hedge his bets. We're all like that. He's heard all the noise. He's went and seen, you know, he's went and watched these guys compete at their pro days, a couple of them each. So he's seen it all. So right now, you got to be. Hopefully, he has the same conviction that let him go and make that trade up to three that he did when he made that trade, bro. Because right now, you don't want to be waffling in between picks. You know who you got. Go sell it. Go sell it to your team and to your fan base.
We'll do pancakes later. They're waffling. We got a whole carb breakfast routine working here this morning. But Kimberly, let me come to you. Let me find someone who can understand some sense. Is it reasonable to think that they made this trade with one thing in mind and then went through the process, because that's what you do, and did find things that have actually made them question that decision? I have been saying, and so have you, from the very beginning, that when a push comes to shove, it's going to be Trey Lance they take, and I still believe that. Kimberly, what do you think?
Yeah, I love D. Wood saying, I like that energy where he's saying, like, get up. Like, all of us are influencers. We're going to influence, you know, GMs and head coaches. Once we start talking about guys, they're like, oh, wait a second. Let's make sure we go back and watch some more tape just so D. Wood knows we did our homework. I'm definitely feeling that energy. However, over the weekend, I talked to coaches that were saying they're still restacking their board. So doing deeper dives on guys does happen this late. I don't think it happens at the QB position. I will say, when the trade went down, I heard Trey Lance's name immediately. It was, people were hitting me up like, watch out for the North Dakota State kid. It's either going to be Mac Jones or Trey Lance. So I've never thought that it would be Justin Fields. But I think when you ask other coaches and GMs around the league, they assume it's going to be Mac Jones, and that's how they're projecting the draft to fall. Mac Jones at 3 to the 49ers.
That's why this is so important, not only because of who the 49ers' new quarterback is going to be, but because of the impact it's going to have. It will basically reshape the entire top 10 or so of this draft one way or the other. Now, David Pollack, let me circle all the way back to you, because you cover the college game for us 365 days a year. You've seen every snap every one of these guys has taken. We have had some people say that to give up everything that the 49ers gave up to go all the way up to get Mac Jones would have been too much, questioning that decision. What will you say if that is the pick on Thursday night?
Yeah, no.
Well, all that matters is what they want and what they get. I don't give a dang, and they don't give a dang what we're saying and what we agree they gave up. If they go up and they get their guy, kudos to them. That's what they should do. What I would do is take Trey Lance. Listen, if we want to have this debate about more time, more time, more time, more evaluation, the more time that goes on, the more time you would think you could talk yourself into Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Because if you're just going on the tape of what you saw a year ago, there is no decision. Mac Jones is clearly the best quarterback in the draft. So the more time, I don't think that helps Mac Jones if they really are debating this thing. But Trey Lance, man, I just think he's special. I think he's got the ability to throw accurately, the ability to scramble and buy time, big, strong arm, huge upside. Drafting potential and who can get to that next upper echelon level, he's a guy that to me is tops in this draft, or one of the tops in this draft.
Yeah, the bottom line of it is this. Had he had a season this year, again, he didn't opt out. The team didn't have a season. They created a one-game showcase for him. But quickly, David, because almost no one watching this program has ever seen him play, let's be real about it. If he had had a season this year, do you believe he could have played himself into being the clear-cut number two pick in this draft?
Maybe, because one of the things you see with him is accuracy isn't always consistent. Mechanics could use a little bit of work. Now, listen, he's going to run away from those guys at that level. Anyways, you watch him at the FCS level. He's such a dynamic, big, strong athlete that nobody can get him. But I think as a passer, if you'd have seen more steps, more strides, and just being accurate consistently, sure, I think it could have changed the debate. But my God, Greeny, if the kid goes three, let's not cry for him. I mean, goodness gracious, three is pretty dang special.
Look, none of these guys, there was no reason to cry for any of them. All five of them are going in the top 10-ish, and probably sooner than that. So that point is well taken. Meanwhile, there's one other thing from this press conference you had to hear yesterday, and we'll call this Meanwhile on Planet Earth, and our thanks to our friends at Whole Foods Market for sponsoring Meanwhile on Planet Earth. Kyle Shanahan was asked if he could guarantee that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster by Sunday. Listen to this.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
So George Kittle responded, "I'll call you on Sunday to let you know I'm alive, coach," which is hilarious. But if I could just come out to the group here, I mean, Jeff Saturday, I'll start with you. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? I mean, of all the different directions
so
Kyle
morbid.
Could have gone, that's a weird thing to say, Jeff, yes?
I mean, can you, listen, Greeny, can you insult a guy anymore? I guarantee you he wouldn't have said that about George Kittle. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have said, "Hey, I don't know if he's going to be here on Sunday." He didn't say that. You already traded up. You already told Garoppolo, "Hey, man, we're moving on from you." Now you're like, "I don't even know if the planet's going to exist come Sunday." And you definitely ain't part of our plans if you said it that way. John Lynch, their GM, tried to kind of back this thing off. But what a shot fired from your head coach to your starting quarterback. 2 years ago, you're in the Super Bowl with them. I mean, how quickly things change, Greeny. How quickly they change.
Yeah, Jimmy's going to look really good back in a Patriot uniform. We've been saying it for weeks. Sit tight, guys. We got much more draft stuff to come. But I got to get you to the game of the night last night. Showtime last night. Shohei Ohtani became the first pitcher to start a major league game while leading the league in home runs since Babe Ruth. It did not start well for him on the mound. This is bottom of one, and that's Nate Lowe hitting a three-run shot off Ohtani, who would allow four runs in the first, but then he would settle in, and he would do it at the plate as well. In the next inning, this is with runners at first and second and two out, and that one's up the right field line, and that's going to score two. And the Angels are right back in the ballgame. It's 4-3. Now we go to the top of the third. The Angels have taken a 5-4 lead. Albert Pujols to the plate. Albert Pujols to the seats. His fifth of the year. And the Angels take a 6-4 lead. And that was as much as Ohtani could possibly need. Watch him here getting settled in. This is Jose Trevino. Just frozen on the splitter. In all, Ohtani would strike out seven of the last 10 he would face. He'd go five innings, strike out nine. He would drive in two, and the Angels win it by a score of 9-4. Ohtani's two-way play has been extraordinary. His 3.29 ERA is best amongst all Angel starters. His seven home runs are now tied for the second most in the majors. And with his two RBIs last year, he has 18 on the season. That leads his team. So he's not just doing it a little, he's doing it big from both sides. As we continue, Bill Belichick ready to make the biggest draft move of his career. Could it involve trading a superstar player? We've got the insight. And speaking of superstars on the move, find out which all-pro wide receiver could be on his way out of town. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Whole Foods, sourced for good from Whole Foods Market, supporting workers, communities, and the environment. All right, crew, let's talk about what is most likely to happen. David, which quarterback is most likely to be the fifth one off the board?
I think it's Justin Fields. Mac Jones, obviously, is getting the headlines at three, and then I think Trey Lance is the next one off the board. So Justin Fields, who's had such a great college career, a great last 2 years at Ohio State, put up great numbers. You watch him throw the football big, strong, can do a lot. And a lot of drafts, we're talking about this guy being the first or second quarterback taken. Unbelievable draft class. I think he goes fifth.
But still probably within the top 10. Meanwhile, speaking of 10, Kimberly, who are the Cowboys most likely to take at 10?
As much as I would want to see D. Wood's head explode with them going up to get Kyle Pitts, they are going to take cornerback Patrick Surtain. You know why? Because he's a lockdown guy, elite talent, size, speed that can keep up with any of these fast receivers in the league. And the Cowboys clearly need defensive help.
And then Jeff Saturday, which team do you think is most likely to trade into the top 10 for a quarterback?
The New England Patriots. Listen, when you think about what they need from an organizational perspective, they need the next guy. That guy, if it's Justin Fields, like David Pollack just said, oh my word. Think about he and Josh McDaniels together for the next 4 years and watching this kid develop in an offense with one of the top five play callers in the NFL. I think that's way under the radar. But the Patriots, to me, are the team that needs to go up in the top 10 to find their guy.
That's an interesting thought. And yesterday, you know, we had Diana Russini here, and she was talking about that same idea that the Patriots might move up. But she raised the notion that maybe they use one of their best players as a trade chip. Listen.
Something to keep in mind, and it's a small little storyline to keep an eye on. Stephon Gilmore is in his final year of his five-year contract with the New England Patriots. He's making about $7 million this season. The New England Patriots could perhaps deal Stephon Gilmore on draft night as part of a package to move up if they are in the business of getting a quarterback. I did speak to a team in the top 10 who told me that they've had calls with New England.
Fascinating. So the idea that not just trading draft capital, as has become the phrase, but Kimberly Martin, the idea they might include a superstar player in the deal. What are you hearing about the idea that New England could be a player in all this?
Yeah, everybody expects New England to try to get up into the top 10. The question is, what does San Francisco do? Because it sort of hinges on what they do at three. If they take Mac Jones, he's off the board. So how far does Justin Fields fall? If he falls to, let's say, eight, and Carolina's on the clock, a team that I think could take a quarterback but also could move back, does New England say, hey, Matt Rhule, like we're trying to get that eight spot and take a quarterback? So I think whatever happens with San Francisco, the draft can go a number of ways.
And so, David Pollack, let me circle it back to you here. As Jeff said, he thinks the New England trades up there. Kimberly's giving you the insight. What are your thoughts on the possibility that Bill trades up there to get Justin Fields, or if he winds up being the one who falls, Mac Jones?
First of all, how on God's green earth are they paying Stephon Gilmore $7 million a year? Like, how the heck did they get that done to begin with? I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in all the NFL. That's unbelievable. So, to me, it makes perfect sense. That's a perfect bargaining chip because it's not overly expensive for somebody to take on. Now, listen, if you want to re-sign him, obviously it's going to cost you a lot of money, but I think it makes a lot of sense for them to use that and do that. I don't foresee them going, hey, we're going to give up two number ones in the future. That just doesn't seem like the New England thing to do. But neither does spending $159 million in an offseason. So I think everything's on the table. They know they got to find a quarterback. The pressure is on. But I would see them, or I could see them doing it at 10. I just don't see them going, hey, we're going to get all the way up to 4, or we're going to get all the way up to 7. I think they would do it at a 9 or a 10 spot when they're not having to give up so much.
Kimberly, I feel the need to point out that earlier in the last 10 minutes, we showed you that Kyle Shanahan says it is likelier that we are all dead by Sunday than it is that Jimmy Garoppolo is still on his team by this weekend. The idea of Garoppolo getting traded back to New England continues to feel more likely to me than Bill trading up in the draft to take an unproven commodity.
I like it. I I was with you, I think it makes logical sense. I think right now, if you're New England and you're Bill Belichick, like you've had 20 years of success with Tom Brady and things are a little shaky, you want another quarterback. You want a guy that maybe he's looking around and saying, you know, the game's kind of changed. Maybe a Justin Fields. I think a Mac Jones is what he would prefer, but I think Mac will go at 3. If Justin Fields is out there, he might be enticing to Josh McDaniels, do some different things.
Go ahead, David.
Greeny, did you hear the way she said that? Like, you want the most non-convincing? Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's okay. Like, I'll take some kale. That's like
David,
asking my
David,
12-year-old,
I'm trying.
Hey, you want a salad? Sure, Dad. Yeah, I'll take a salad. Oh, yeah, it's good. Keep them coming.
Listen, San Francisco is telling us how much they love Jimmy Garoppolo 1 week, and then the next it's like he might be dead. I don't know. So what am I supposed to say to that? They don't even want the guy. So, sure, send him to New England. Okay.
Jeff, quick final thought. Go.
Yeah, listen, I think the trade up to the Cowboys is probably the most encouraging for me because they want a corner. You could give Gilmore in that trade. You get the 10, whether it's Lance or whether it's Fields, whichever guy is there from the New England perspective with Josh McDaniels again. The play caller he is and the ability for both those guys to make teams pay with their legs and still be accurate throwing the football, I think takes New England to a different level. Again, that's not a slight on Jimmy G. That is what the expectations for these two young quarterbacks could be. Again, system and placement matters. Development matters. Going to New England is a home run, no different than going to San Francisco if you're a quarterback.
All right, let's leave that there for the moment because right now, if anyone's hungry for breakfast, Jeff's handing out pancakes.
Set 'em down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw 'em out the club. Swagoo, throw 'em out the club. You see 'em? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes.
Ooh. There's nothing like it when Jeff Saturday, we do Sat 'em Down, where Jeff hands out pancakes for the best blocks, and these are all players you will see get drafted on Thursday night. Jeff, go.
Oh, I can't wait. Hey, Greeny, we're showing Pollock some bloodletting, and we're showing Woody. Watch Panay Sewell put him down, baby. Show that little man who the boss is. Watch him. Little Olay getting downfield. Look at that athleticism. Boom! Put him right on the backside. Hey, listen, that. All 20 wants to do is get up and look what truck just hit him. Hey, which one just hit me, fella? I don't know. Hey, the one right in front of you. Open them eyes, little man. See what you can see. One pancake for Panay Sewell for the SmackDown. Hey, listen, Quinn Miners. I know Wisconsin Whitewater. Watch this. Oh, my goodness. The left leg just buckles. This looks like WWE, man. Ow. He comes off this block and puts him down. How do we get the two pancakes from my man Miners? Is this. You're going from a little man to a bigger man. This is medium size. Take that, little man. Put him down. Two pancakes for Quinn Miners. This kid has showed up on tape. Yeah. Absolutely love the leg buckling, baby. It's like putting him in the turnbuckle. And finally, Vera Tucker, fellas, this is big on big. Ain't nobody hiding this. Man tries to cross your face. Watch the finish right here, Wood. Take him. Finish him. Pollock, right here.
Finish him.
And you're circling the tape. You're telling your defensive lineman, hey, man, just fall down. Grab grass. Do something. Do not get embarrassed. All you're seeing right now is grass stains on your back. Three pancakes for Vera Tucker. Fantastic block, fellas. You got to get fired up for that.
I got to go to a break. I enjoyed watching Damian Woody enjoy that as much as I've enjoyed anything in a long time. Coming up, one GM says his franchise is willing to listen to offers for their superstar wide receiver. You'll hear which one next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN, we'll have the Red Sox taking on the Mets at Citi Field. Boston leads the American League East. The Mets lead the National League East. The clash is tonight. You'll see it on ESPN. Meanwhile, time for one big surprise that may happen during night one of the NFL draft. Jeff, give us a surprise. Jeff? Well, Jeff, we've seen we've lost Jeff, but his big surprise is Justin Fields going number 3 overall to San Francisco, which would be a stunning surprise, as of the three possibilities there, the suggestions we are getting from most of our insiders is he's the least likely. Kimberly, give us a surprise.
All right, I'm going to say it. Carolina Panthers draft a quarterback. Would it be shocking? Yes, because they have Sam Darnold. But look, I even asked Matt Rhule, is there a danger in having two young quarterbacks in your QB room? And he was like, look, if you're worried about that, then you probably have the wrong guys. So why not have two QBs, one on a rookie contract, and see what happens?
Yeah, they sit there at 8. One of the big QBs could be there. D Wood, give me a surprise.
No, something just happened.
Yeah, how about the Bears going up from 20 up into the top 10? Listen, in the offseason where the Bears tried to trade for Russell Wilson, there's no way you can sit here and tell me that the Bears think Andy Dalton is the answer. They are on the hot seat, both GM Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy. That's an understatement. They need to make a bold move to try to bring some energy and life to that Bears fan base.
I think that's exactly right. Their being on the hot seat sort of lends itself to the idea of making a desperate move, and we'll see if that's what they wind up doing. Meanwhile, the draft sort of starts at 4, right? We look at it, we know who the first two picks are going to be, and we know that the third pick will be a quarterback, and then we get to Atlanta. They have a huge decision at 4 and plenty of options. Yesterday, Diana Russini broke down some of those.
They have attended every single quarterback pro day. Every one of them, they've had a representative there. So they obviously have interest in a quarterback. And I was told they have their eye on one. If he's there, they will take him. If he's not, they are very open to trading back to collect more picks. Atlanta really has a plethora of options here that could all really work for them.
Yeah, they have 3 options with regard to the draft. They also have another option that is fascinating. And here's what Terry Fontenot said to Fox 5 in Atlanta about trading Julio Jones. He said that's one of those things when you're doing things the right way as an organization, you have to listen. If people call on any player, we're in a difficult cap situation. That's just the circumstance. Obviously, that particular player, we hold him in high regard. He's special what he's done, what he continues to do here. But we have to consider any player if it's right for the team, because we have to do what's right for the team. And Adam Schefter later tweeted to explain that from a salary cap perspective, it's more likely that trade would come after June 1st. That's not the interesting piece of this, though, however. Kimberly, the interesting piece is, are we living in a world where Julio Jones could be on the verge of getting traded out of Atlanta?
Yeah, listen, after this offseason, Greeny, anything is possible. The world may not even be here by the weekend, so anything is possible. And this just speaks to the situation that Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have walked into. You know, cap management, you know, the roster building or not building. You know, that wasn't their doing, but now they're sort of left with the situation. They've got to figure it out. Contracts, like, hey, they don't have a lot of cap space. They've got to turn this organization around. So, yes, Matt Ryan, very good quarterback. But at 4, it really is interesting what they do. Do you think, when are you going to trade? When are you going to be at 4 again? That's the interesting thing. So I want to see if they end up picking an impact player. Even with Julio Jones.
There's a lot of ways to look at that, because if you're trading away Julio Jones, then maybe you are living in a world where you might be drafting high again. There's a lot of halfway here and halfway there in this. We'll talk about where Julio may wind up coming up. That said, Jeff Saturday, as we look at their options at 4, they can take a quarterback. They can trade back to someone who wants to take a quarterback, or they can take, let's say, for the sake of argument, Kyle Pitts, the superstar offensive weapon who many people believe is the best player in the whole draft. What do you think they should do?
Trade the pick. listen, Greeny, when you think about Kyle Pitts, the reason he fits so well at four is because of Julio, right? You got Ridley and Julio on the side, so now you're going to open up. You'll get man-to-man coverage. You can kind of dictate to defenses what you want to do. If you're going to get rid of Julio, the whole Kyle Pitts, you can trade back, and he'll probably still be there for the slot that you want, because anybody coming up to four is going to get a quarterback. They're not going to come draft up or get to four to come get Kyle Pitts. So I think they're in the best seat of the house, or in the house, right? They're waiting, seeing if their perfect option is their quarterback, they could do it. But in my opinion, you trade out because you know Matt Ryan's got to be there with his contract. You just heard Fondo talk about the circumstances they're in with the salary cap. I think you trade it, get the picks, and you're a better team for it with the possibility of winning now.
David?
Well, I think everybody wants to do that. Everybody loves to have the opportunity to move back and get more picks. But for the sake of this and not having the move back, give me Kyle Pitts. You talked about the matchups. Mm-hmm. Give me Arthur Smith coaching this too, by the way. What did he coach? He coached tight ends. Like, this dude can feature tight ends. I think he'll do a great job with it. Has done an unbelievable job calling offense. I love his play calling. He uses 12 personnel. Could use a guy like Kyle Pitts all over the field. So I think if you're going to stay in that spot, Matt Ryan, he's not 50 years old, okay? He's 35, 36 years old. He's still in a spot right where he can play good football. And, by the way, is it normal to tell everybody, like, we sucked at the cap and they handcuffed me here, bro. Like, I got nowhere to go, so I'm feeling calls. Just let me know, whoever wants somebody.
That feels like the kind of thing you say to your fans before you trade away the most popular player on your entire team in Julio Jones. Maybe that's the direction this thing is going. One way or another, the entire thing is going to be shaped by whether or not a quarterback goes at four or not, regardless of whether it is Atlanta or someone else who makes the pick. Now, we talked about surprises. Let's flash back to last year's draft when the huge surprise, of course, came late in round one when the Packers traded up to take Jordan Love. That's how we got to where we are today, with Aaron Rodgers calling his future a beautiful mystery. But listen to General Manager Brian Gutekunst yesterday on how he views the quarterback's future.
That's kind of something we're working through. You know, I think it's something that we've talked about quite a bit as we've worked through this salary cap situation, which is really kind of a two-year situation. Aaron's our guy. He's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future. We're excited about, you know, kind of the things we're going to try to accomplish here over the next couple of years. We're not done yet. We've done a lot to get here. We've kind of been doing things as we go, and we will continue to do that as we go.
What the actual heck? So Aaron is our guy, and he's going to be our guy for the foreseeable. Kimberly, help.
I don't have a life raft. I don't have any answers for you, Greeny, because when you think about the Packers and what they should do is get Aaron Rodgers some help. I feel like there's old footage from last year. I know I'm new to ESPN, but I know there's footage of me saying this last year where they should get Aaron Rodgers some help. And guess what? They need to get him help this year. Think about the history of this team. Of the last 9 first round picks, they've been defensive, except for Jordan Love, who cannot help you right now. No disrespect to Jordan Love, but if Aaron Rodgers is your guy, then don't leave it all on Davante Adams. Don't leave it all on Aaron Rodgers. Go out and get this guy top-tier talent so we can stop talking about it.
Well, D. Wood, as we consider the conversations we've been having here this morning, you had an idea. Who might Green Bay go out and get for Aaron Rodgers?
Green, I think I had it in my notes. Why don't you go out there and trade for Julio Jones? How about that? How about trade for Julio Jones?
Okay.
Because Aaron Rodgers did it then. Right, exactly. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is forcing Jordan Love on the bench. He's playing at MVP type level. They've been to back-to-back NFC championship games. Get another dominant receiver beside Davante Adams and watch Aaron Rodgers continue to flourish. That guy is Julio Jones, in my opinion.
Now, I don't know exactly what the cost would be, if you will, in a trade to acquire Julio Jones. But, Jeff, let's just consider a moment a world in which you have Davante Adams and Julio Jones at receiver and Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. Jeff Saturday, what does that look like?
Oh, they're the best team in the NFC. I mean, start it, right? You get those two guys on that offense with the offensive line. Bakhtiari's coming back. He'll be healthy after the injury, obviously. All of those things. They can run the ball now in Green Bay. I mean, this team is poised to go to the Super Bowl because of what they're doing to Wood's point, who is just preaching about Julio Jones helping Adams and helping Rodgers. I mean, this thing, and here's the easiest part, in my opinion. Get Aaron Rodgers' contract done. This should be the easiest contract in the business. Get it done today. Now let's look at the draft. Let's look at being able to get and acquire a guy like Julio Jones to come in and help us. But the first piece that needs to fall is the Aaron Rodgers contract. And by the way, that eliminates all other distraction. I'm exhausted by the distraction of the Green Bay Packers that they have brought this on themselves. Yeah. So get this thing done and then bring in the talent to go help Aaron Rodgers.
I hate to even ask this question, but if you do that and you extend Aaron Rodgers' contract, Kimberly, what happens to Jordan Love?
That's the risk you run when you draft a quarterback when you don't need one. Listen, teams will tell you the best time to take a quarterback is when you don't need one. That is true. However, Aaron Rodgers, this is a man on a mission. He's not trying to lose his job anytime soon. So I don't know when we're going to see Jordan Love on the field.
Yeah, or for which team? I mean, does suddenly he become someone you consider trading? It's a fascinating scenario, but the GM said it. You heard him say it. Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback for the foreseeable future. Now, if you listen to Kyle Shanahan, the foreseeable future is a pretty short time. Let's see how that winds up working out. But as we continue, the Steelers need a long-term answer at quarterback. Will they go looking for one in round one? We'll hear from their general manager next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I believe in you.
T-minus 2 days and counting. All right, David Follick, let's do some quarterback prospect comparisons. Trey Lance, who does he remind you of as you look at the NFL landscape right now?
He reminds me of Ryan Tannehill. Not a huge body of work. You see the undeniable talent, big, strong, fast, athletic, both. When you think about Ryan Tannehill, didn't start a bunch of college games in his career, wasn't the guy for a number of years. Same thing with Trey Lance. You can see that the ability is through the roof. So I think from the mobility, the big arm, the strength, the build, I think he's very Ryan Tannehill-esque. Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is a more athletic Dak Prescott. He reminds me of him. Just built thick. Really, really good accuracy, great leadership. I think I trust him. I can depend on him. Just like Dak Prescott, everything you ever heard about him was always super solid, and you've seen super leader, great player, and continue to develop, continue to grow, could be a top-flight quarterback in the NFL. And then Mac Jones, it's Matt Ryan. You know, it's the statuesque but pinpoint accuracy, enough mobility in the pocket, got a little something-something to him. It's not about just raw talent. It's about I can process quickly. I can put the ball where it needs to be. So those are guys, we're comparing to guys that are really good NFL players. So I think this class is loaded at the quarterback position.
Yeah, clearly, as evidenced by the fact that five of them are going to go pretty much right off the top. And you know, you and I have talked about this here and on the radio over the course of the last several months. I know you think that Mac Jones, to some degree, is getting a bit of a raw deal from some of the criticism out there, particularly with regard to the athleticism. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, I hear it every day, Greeny, on the show, and I hear it all over the place. Like, I can't believe 49ers would move up to 3 to get Mac Jones. I get it. He's not dynamic. He's not going to wow you in shorts. He's not going to wow you at his pro day. But, dude, just go turn on his tape. His tape is better than Justin Fields. His tape is better than Zach Wilson. His tape is better than Trey Lance. His tape is better than Trevor Lawrence, okay? He doesn't have those wow moments, but everybody wants to talk about Henry Ruggs and Judy, and you look at this year with Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle. Greeny, how many times are we watching those guys make spectacular catches? The dude puts it on the money, bro. He can have the best supporting cast ever. He makes great decisions on time. Is he going to wow you in shorts at a pro day? No. Turn on the dude's tape and he plays great football, so I don't get the slander of, oh my God, how could he possibly go 3? He's not a scrub. The dude can play, man.
Yeah, and listen, Dan Orlovsky said the same thing here. He has the best tape of any quarterback in this draft, and at the end of the day, that should be the most important thing. That's a point really well taken, David. Well done. Meanwhile, let's talk about a team that needs a quarterback and isn't going to be able to get Mac Jones, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got the 24th pick Thursday night, and their general manager, Kevin Colbert, addressed the media about their potential draft plan yesterday.
I'm very doubtful that we'll trade up. We really value those 8 picks that we have.
At what point would you consider drafting a quarterback?
Again, wide open to all of it. If you look at our current depth, obviously we have 4 NFL veteran quarterbacks on our roster, which I feel great about. We'll always be open to adding what we believe is the most critical position.
Ben Roethlisberger in his age 39 season. So, Kimberly, I'm trying to read the face. What?
It's hard to read my face. It has a mind of its own. The four veteran quarterbacks I feel great about. No, they have Ben Roethlisberger, Dwayne Haskins, Josh Jobs, and Mason Rudolph. Like, their fans can't feel great about that. So that, like, Dwayne, like, I'm done. I'm not. You know what? It's the draft week. We say what we say to reporters. It's fine.
So, Jeff, I will come to you. It's a point well taken. They may feel great about them. Most of their fans probably don't feel quite as great. So, Jeff Saturday, do you believe the Steelers need to shake up well, let's not even put it that way. Do they need to address the quarterback position in this draft, Jeff?
Absolutely not. They need to draft an offensive lineman, Greeny. Listen, they're 28th in the league in pass protection. They're 24th in run. I don't care who you put back there. If you can't protect him and run it, you're in trouble no matter what. So a Vera Tucker-type player, even a Jenkins-type player, some spot that's going to actually benefit you right now. Listen, if you're playing with your second quarterback next season because Roethlisberger got hurt, you're playing for 8-8, 9-7, whatever, or 17 games. Now, so move it up a number. You're playing for mediocrity, right? So you understand Roethlisberger has to lead your team. Go help your team now by addressing the offensive line, which needs to be addressed. That was a huge disappointment last season, and unless they address it, it will be again this season. They have to improve there.
What do you think, David?
Well, I agree, Jeff, but also nobody says we can't address the quarterback position a little bit later in the draft. We can still get those big, ugly guys up front like Jeff Saturday and Damian Woody. We can address that with our first pick, but we have more picks. So maybe a guy like Davis Mills, who I love from Stanford, if you get him in the second round, I think he has the talent to become an NFL starter. I don't necessarily love their roster beyond Big Ben, but I understand what you're saying, Jeff. They never completely rebuild because Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season ever. But when you look in your division and everybody has their quarterback of the future and you don't, at some point we got to find it. And maybe it's not right now, but I would make the team as good as possible. So when we do find our quarterback for the future, you're right. We can run the football. We can have a little bit more protection because Big Ben, unlike Matt Ryan conversation we're having, like, Big Ben to me looks his age. He looks like he's struggling. Matt Ryan to me is still playing at a high level, so I think they definitely have to address it, but they got to address the team too and get everything else around it better.
Yeah, Roethlisberger is older. Davis Mills, only 11 starts at Stanford. He was the number one quarterback recruit coming out of high school from the state of Georgia year he came out and went out there to Stanford. So for him to be a great player 5 years from now would not be a surprise at all. Well done, guys. Keep it there. Let me get you to the game of the night last night because the New York Knicks
were red hot, and they ran up against the Phoenix Suns at MSG, and the fans are ready at the Garden. How ready? Well, I guess that's a degree of ready, right? Here we go. This is a good game. Take it right to the finish. Fourth quarter, Knicks down three, but not for long. Derrick Rose up and good. One-point game. The stars are there. John Stewart, Chris Rock, they love it. Buck and a half to go. Suns up by four, and Chris Paul just took over this game.
It's good.
Chris Paul would score the final seven for the Suns. One more spectacular than the next. Knicks came back down the other way. This is Julius Randle knocking down a three from the corner. He's been so good. But under a minute left, here is Chris Paul again. You tell me how he gets this to go. The defense is good.
Throws it up in the basket.
And yet that one winds up finding the bottom. Paul would score 20 points on the night. Suns take a 5-point lead under 20 seconds to go now. Same score. Chris Paul again. This one is the dagger. Again, he scored the final seven for Phoenix. The Suns break the Knicks' 9-game winning streak. They win it by 8, 118-110. And while it was snapped last night, that win streak was tied for the Knicks' third longest in a single season in 40 years. Every other team they had such a win streak with, however, reached at least the second round of the playoffs. So let's see if that is a harbinger of things to come. Meanwhile, you want basketball tomorrow night? We got it for you. Doubleheader on ESPN. AD and the Lakers finishing up their road trip against the Wizards. That's 7:30 Eastern. And two of the best in the West squaring off, Paul George and the Clippers, taking on CP3 and the Suns. Coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center, 7 Eastern, right here on ESPN. Coming up, the 49ers on the fence. The biggest decision in the draft, going right down to the wire. We've got the very latest right after this. Get up on ESPN.